Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For many people that might be unfamiliar with my voice, you might be a first-time listener. My name is Peter Mingles. We started Building Fortunes Radio to be able to have a platform and be able to pass around microphones for people doing the right things in home-based businesses. And that's what led us to today's show. I called Pam Harshman. And Pam Harshman was a customer of ours on the PM marketing side, and she was building home-based businesses, and she was doing it so well, and she was doing it so, you know, with the integrity and thoroughness and all the great of someone. And as a result of the – oops, I'm sorry, I forgot to shut off my phone. Hold on. It's crazy. I got to shut off my phone. Sorry about that, guys. But anyway, so having said that, so we were doing a whole bunch of stuff, and when I started Building Fortunes Radio, I asked her if she would want to host a guest host on Building Fortunes Radio, and she politely told me that she wasn't going to be doing the home-based business stuff anymore, but she was going to probably be moving in the general direction of being a travel agent. And that kind of put me back a little bit, but I said to myself, you know, I know Pam's going to bring her head wherever she goes, and she's going to be great as a travel agent. And she mentioned she was going to do it with her husband, Ron, which was going to be even, you know, just one more person to help complement the whole package. And I said, well, people that do home-based businesses, they're people too. And they like to travel, and they have goals, and this is on their bucket list. And I know you're going to do all the same things that you did in home-based businesses over here. You'll get the continuing education. You'll get them the special deals. You'll do the extra research. I mean, you'll be a great travel agent. So let's do one on Building Fortunes Radio. So they have a domain name called harshmantravel.com. harshmantravel.com. If you go there, you'll be able to see the cool things that they do. But I wanted this radio show so you can hear their voices, get the same level of enthusiasm towards their ability to do their great things that they do as I have. And then on the second half of the radio show, Ron's going to come back and tell us some of the good news that's happening in the travel industry as a result of the things that are happening. And we're going to run this radio show as a replay for next week, because my son is visiting from Colorado, and I playfully say he followed the girl. You know how that goes for all you parents or all you guys. He followed the girl, and they went from Florida to Colorado. He's coming back home. He's doing a trip. He's swinging by over here. We're going to have him for a couple of days, and one of those days is going to be next Friday. So we're going to take a little bit of special time and hang out with him on Friday. So we'll be doing this as a replay next week. So if it sounds like you heard it twice, that's why. So we'll be right back. And first thing I want to do is say thanks, Pam, for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter, and thanks for having us again. We always look forward to Friday nights, and I know how that goes. When we get to our age and kids come by, we see them so seldom, so it's like stop everything, and it's time for us to spend and enjoy our time with them. So enjoy your time with your son then. A little bit about my background is I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and started my working years as a 911 dispatcher, and did that for several years, and Slobacher worked myself up into court administration, and I absolutely loved my job. However, I met my husband and ended up moving all the way cross-country diagonally from Oregon down to sunny Florida, and kind of a culture shock once I got down here, but I'm loving it. And once down here, I kind of didn't want to start down at the bottom of the ladder or anything, so I was looking for something that I could hopefully work from home, but definitely work more independently. So I ended up getting my realtor's license, and then followed that with my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. And just kind of one day it dawned on me this was not my niche. And I went and got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Loved it, absolutely loved it. Loved working with the seniors and really felt like I was doing a service to the community, because once you get up in your golden years, I felt like what you decided to do with your health care was probably one of the most important decisions you were going to be making, because it carried you through to the rest of your life. So it was a very fun job, and it was also, I never knew what I was stepping into. Sometimes I'd go out on my calls and I'd step into a whole room full of folks that they were basically having a potluck, and I was the guest speaker. And other times it would be a ladies' tea, and sometimes it would just be a single person that just needed to definitely have some help. So it was fun. It was not necessarily exciting, but it was in many respects, but I did enjoy it and had a good time. But at the same time, I was getting these little carrots dangling across my Facebook news feed about home-based businesses and MLMs, and that's where we had met. I was a customer of yours on the PM marketing side that I definitely was a friend of yours at the same time, and we just kind of hit it off, but we learned a lot, and slow but sure, I decided, where am I going with this? This is having a senior moment tonight. I'm sorry. I'm still excited about your son coming to visit you. Anyway, let me jump forward, and while I was out on one of my calls, I got a phone call from one of my friends that just kind of asked out of the blue if Ron and I ever thought about being travel agents. And it kind of threw me aback, because it hadn't been but a week, and Ron and I had been chit-chatting about it, that, you know, comparing bucket lists, and we were baby boomer empty nesters with some disposable income, and so we were kind of deciding where we wanted to go first, and, you know, prioritizing and all that good stuff. And so when she brought that up, it kind of really blew my mind. I couldn't wait to get home and talk to Ron about it. And once we sat down and talked, we did some research on the internet and started comparing positives and negatives, and it was kind of a weird experience to try to go into something brand new, but when we did decide, we got all the education we could get our hands on and moved forward, getting all the licensures we could. We probably have done a whole lot more travel than we probably had planned on to begin with, but it's been wonderful, and we've helped an awful lot of people with their travel experiences and helped them spread their travel dollars as well, and it's been a real win-win for us all the way around. So here we are.
Excellent. Okay, good. And Ron, over to you.
Harry, Peter, thank you. Good to be here with you again. My background is very different than Pam's. I spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical practice and clinical work, but also chose to become involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession, got very heavily involved there. When I first started out, first in training, actually, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested that it would be very important to become active in the provincial association and get back to the profession and learn the ins and outs that most professionals are totally unaware of, whether psychology, medicine, law, whatever. Most professionals join their professional association, pay their annual dues, attend their annual conventions, but that's the extent to which they understand or know about all of the behind-the-scenes workings. And when you actually become involved in the professional association, you really see things that most professionals are not aware of, never have anything to do with. And I became very heavily involved, sat on the board of directors, was on several ethics committees, professional affairs committees, represented the Canadian Association with the sister association here in the U.S., the American Psychological Association, was fortunate to be elected as chair of the Applied Division of the Canadian Psych Association, and at the end of my career was very, very honored to be elected as a lifelong honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So saw a lot and learned a lot in terms of my own clinical training and experience. I was very fortunate in both undergraduate and graduate training to run into a number of professors, who basically made a very strong point that if we were even considering going into private practice, it would be very important beforehand to get as much varied clinical experience as we could, working with different clinical populations and getting exposed to a variety of life situations, life difficulties, etc. Because they made a very valid point that if you go into private practice, you really have very little say over who's going to call to make an appointment to come in and see you, what their problems are, what their life stresses are, etc. And if you have no clue of what they are living with and going through and struggling with, you end up doing a lot more damage than help. And I took that advice very much to heart and made the commitment that even when I started working in undergraduate years, I made the commitment to gain as much varied experience as I could and ended up working for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems, from addictions to corrections to residential care to inpatient hospitalization to incarcerated inpatient criminal justice to community-based criminal justice, etc. And when I did go into private practice, I felt very prepared to be there, so that was good. But after a short while, I really started specializing, working with young couples, young families, doing a lot of premarital counseling, a lot of marriage counseling, a lot of sexual counseling, a lot of work with kids with learning disabilities. And as a result of working with that population, very early found myself in court, involved in child custody cases, in disputes with couples going through divorce. And unfortunately, I was really shocked to see how many of these young kids were very immature, and they were part of a throwaway society. Marriage wasn't working, so get out of it. But the part that really was very hurtful and very depressing for me was the number of couples that I saw and got involved with who really began to see their children as the last battleground where they felt they could do the killing blow to their about-to-be ex-spouse. So I very quickly got involved in doing a lot of child custody investigations and appearing in court, testifying about what would be the best solutions for kids in disputed custody battles. And at the same time that I got involved, nothing to do with me, just the timing was there, the court system was changing from what had been a pre-drawn conclusion that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young children involved, the court would almost always grant custody to mommy, visitation to daddy, which of course worked out okay in many, many cases. You know, daddy's working, mommy's at home, et cetera, et cetera. But unfortunately, we were seeing more and more cases where that predisposition was not only not a good one, but in too many cases it was demonstrated to be very bad and very destructive. And as a result of the increasing numbers that we saw a major change in the courts where they made the determination that going forward, any decisions made in terms of child custody and access had to be based on the psychological best interests of the children involved. And that was a very good, very sane, very appropriate decision to be made. The stumbling block was that when that decision was made, at that time there was no predetermined best way to even determine what was in the children's best interest. And as a result, I got involved with a number of other professionals, both clinical psychologists and clinical social workers, who had the commitment to really get involved in this arena and come up with some standardized ways of evaluating marital situations, children's situations, to be able to evaluate, come up with clinical decisions about what would be in the psychological best interest of the children involved, and then be able to go into court and testify as the court's witness, not just as a hired gun for either mommy's attorney or daddy's attorney, but actual as a friend of the court, and go in as a unbiased person to basically tell the court, based on clinical findings, what would be the best outcome for the children. And I was very fortunate to be involved in that whole process. I was one of the first clinical psychologists to be appointed by the Supreme Court in Canada to serve as an expert witness in the arena, and ended up with several hundred court cases. And after doing that for a number of years in Canada, through a number of other circumstances, ended up in South Florida working with a psychiatrist who was doing a lot of forensic work in the courts, who really wanted me to introduce this whole concept in the South Florida courts. And I was fortunate enough to be the first psychologist in both Dade and Broward County courts to introduce this whole concept of doing child custody investigations and appearing as a witness for the court to determine the psychological best interests of the children. In any event, did that for quite a number of years, very heavy work, very challenging work, but obviously very, very rewarding work. When Pam and I got together after a short period of time, we decided to semi-retire. We made the decision to move from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida, started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she started getting involved with home-based businesses, multi-level marketing. And although I wasn't involved with that, I was very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, that was something that really grabbed both of us. We looked into it, decided if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. And as she said, took all the training available, got the proper licensures, and have really made that our next career. And we've been very fortunate to do much more traveling than we would have been able to had we not become travel consultants. And we've also helped a number of people stretch both their travel time and money to their best interests. And until COVID came along, it was great. COVID came along and really threw a wrench in the works, but throughout that whole process, we spent many, many hours on the radio show talking about our prognostications that things would be better and eventually travel would come back and cruising would come back bigger and better than ever before, and the last several months, we've been very much demonstrating that our prognostications were correct, and this week is no different. After the break, we will come back and look at some major things that are going on in the cruise industry.
Excellent. Okay, good. We're going to take a little commercial break. You can check them out on harshmantravel.com. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Ron is going to give us the good news that's happening in the travel industry. So back to you, Ron.
All righty, Peter. First story off the mark. You had sent me a very interesting article about a luxury cruise ship where people had paid up to $33,000 per person to go on a cruise, and this ship had run aground in Greenland. And when you sent me this article, it just said that they'd been stranded for days in the freezing Arctic waiting for help to arrive. There were some cases of COVID on board, but there was a doctor on board, so things were bad but not terrible. And I read that with great interest, and then just yesterday, I got notification of a follow-up to that story that said after 4 days stranded at Greenland's Applefjord, the Ocean Explorer was freed on Thursday morning, and according to the Joint Arctic Command, 140-guest ship was pulled free by the rescue ship Terjan, which is operated by Greenland's Institute of Nature. And the Danish Maritime Board is following this closely, but it certainly looks like all 210 passengers and crews were okay, and no reports of danger to human life. The ship was apparently built in China, but was specifically built to handle the frozen waters and area up there, an 8,000-ton vessel. But everything turned out just fine, so that's a good ending to that story. This week, a number of interesting articles came out relating to a few of the major cruise lines. Carnival, for example, came up with a number of announcements. Their ship, the Carnival Miracle, recently sailed from Long Beach to Alaska. It was a 14-night cruise. They called on seven different destinations in the region, Prince Rupert in British Columbia, and they really had a very, very good itinerary. They stopped in Juneau, Skagway, Ketchikan, the Icy Strait Point, and Sitka, so they really saw a lot of Alaska. And that ship is just one of the Carnival vessels in Alaska this year, and they are it's a ship with about 2,100 guests, and the ship was created to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the company. So that was their first announcement that came out. Another thing that I'm always pleased to announce when cruise lines demonstrate their involvement with the various places that they visit in terms not only of adding to the economy, but just really participating in the life of the people in the various areas where they touched in ports of call. And this week, Carnival celebrated with the government of the Bahamas the 50th anniversary of independence for the Bahamas. And it was interesting because the way the Bahamas personnel talked about it, they said Carnival has partnered with the Bahamas since we first started sailing more than half a century ago, honored to celebrate the country's 50 years of independence, resilience, strength, and progress. That was the comment made by the president of Carnival Cruise Lines, and the secretary of the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism added their comments that we are a paradise nation that is known for our pristine natural resources, culture, diversity, and world-class hospitality. Partners like Carnival have helped showcase all we have to offer the world and contributed to the country's flourishing economy over the last five decades. So we can see another example of where a cruise line is very, very much in tune with and in partnership with these the countries, the ports of call, whatever, and the people that live in those areas. And it's just really nice to see. Another announcement from Carnival involved their longest ever cruise. They had a 30-night trans-Pacific itinerary to Brisbane in Australia. This was the first time that Carnival made its way to there. Cruise starts in Alaska, visits to Ketchikan and Icy Street Point, as well as scenic cruising of the Hubbard Glacier. And then they're going across the Pacific, arriving in Japan, Tokyo, etc., and then going south and ending up in Alaska, so or in, I'm sorry, Argentina. So there, Australia, I'm sorry. One of these days it'll be okay. In any event, that was another announcement from them. They are, again, enlarging their commitment in Galveston. They have another ship that will be there and sailing four-night to ten-night cruises. And it's just so nice to see that the itineraries that we are now seeing, that we're now having exposed, and that we as travel consultants have to promote to our clients and to be able to say, this is something you have not done before. It's just nice to see the novelty of some of the itineraries that the different cruise lines are coming up with. And we're talking about announcements all the way into 2025. This particular ship will have an eight-day Christmas sailing departing December 18, 2025, and it will be going to Mahogany Bay, Roatan, Belize, Costa Maya, and Cozumel from, again, Galveston. And the ship will sail a 16-day Carnival journey sailing departing from San Francisco, again, to Galveston. And just, again, I'm impressed with the novelty of some of the itineraries that are coming up, being announced by basically all of the different cruise lines. In addition to different itinerary, they are starting different things on board. Again, Carnival announced that they are debuting new vegan menus that will be starting out of Port Canaveral and out of Port Miami. And these new vegan menus will become available fleet-wide through the end of the year, but they are really coming up with some interesting menus and, again, reaching out to different people who have either sailed before or who have never sailed, but who have particular interests. The cruise lines are really going all out trying to develop new ports of call, new itineraries, as I say, and also new programs on board to continue to expand the different experiences that people can look forward to when they go on a cruise. And it can be a short cruise, it can be a long cruise. I'm going to be talking about a cruise that I did not know anything about that was just announced the other day that we'll talk about in a minute. Royal Caribbean came up with a couple of announcements. They are debuting in Port Canaveral, July of 2024. The Utopia of the Seas will be there. That ship is going through its final preparations at the France shipyard where it is being made. And this last step that they just went through was a 15-hour adventure starting in the dry dock with more than 46 million gallons of water had to be added there in order for the ship to have its first float out. The Icon of the Seas is going to be coming out of Miami, and they just announced that it will be 3 months ahead of schedule, so they are really looking to be big there. They will be doing in 25-26 new itineraries, 7-night Eastern Caribbean, 7-night Western Caribbean. So again, we're seeing that big expansion. Disney Cruise Lines came out with an announcement about their 23-24 winter program, and they have a number of ships that will be in the Caribbean and different places coming out of Galveston, New Orleans, Fort Lauderdale, Port Canaveral, San Diego, going to Mexico, etc. And again, I am so pleased to see the Disney Cruise Line very much staying separate and apart from the norm of the Disney Corporation with all the hassles that they are going through. They also just announced that they will be sending the Disney Wonder, which is a 1,700-guest ship, to Australia and New Zealand, and that will be starting actually the end of October through February. The last thing, I think it's the last thing I've got, hold on just a second. No, second last thing I've got, the cruise line I was talking about before, Life at Sea Cruises, is getting ready to begin. Now listen to this. This is a 3-year world cruise. It will be sailing from Lara from Istanbul, or I'm sorry, the ship is the Lara, sailing from Istanbul, Istanbul, November the 1st. It will be a ship for 3 years. They are announcing that people who, how do they put it, who are unable to make all the necessary arrangements to put their life on hold for 3 years will not have to depart November 1st. They will be able to pick up the ship as it's on its way during this 3-year cruise.
Wow.
And they still are announcing that they have availability, so the ship is not full. But they are totally refurbishing all of the cabins, and the public spaces and deck arrangements. They have 634 staterooms, space for 1,268 passengers. So if somebody doesn't know what they want to do for the next 3 years and has the availability, give us a call. We can get you booked on this three-year world cruise. Oceania Cruises, one of the subsidiaries of Norwegian Cruise Lines, has announced, again, brand new itineraries with over 40 different voyages departing from Miami, Lima, Sydney, Singapore, Abu Dhabi, Dubai during the 23-24 and 24-25 holiday seasons. And these itineraries are specifically designed to allow people to enjoy the holidays, basically the Christmas, New Year's holidays, on board ships in various parts of the world, and really make special experiences for themselves. Last thing, and I know I'm running overtime, but last thing I wanted to announce, the Chinese Ministry of Transport has announced that international cruise service in and out of domestic cruise ports can now be fully resumed. So this is the resumption of traffic out of Shanghai, Shenzhen, and this is part of a pilot program that started in March, but they have now opened up for international sailing. So again, we've seen the problems caused by COVID slowly but surely evaporating, and the world getting back to an even better place than they were before the COVID atrocity. So lots going on, lots of real specials being announced constantly by the different cruise lines. And again, I encourage anybody who is thinking of going on a cruise, short-term, long-term, whatever, give us a call. Let's talk about your wishes and thoughts and questions, and if we can help match you with a cruise that would be good for you, you make a small deposit, and your money is 100% safeguarded until very close to actual embarkation date. If you run into a problem that you can't go, you get your money back. If you don't run into a problem and you can go, you have a wonderful cruise at really good and cost-effective prices. So hopefully people have a good week, and we wish everybody well.
Excellent information. So great news. And thanks for the updates on the special things that sometimes happen when people are out in life. So sometimes your boat gets stuck.
Even if you pay $3,000 for the cruise, it's going to go non-problematic.
Mother Nature sometimes is, all the times, is a little bit stronger. But the cool thing is that I'm sure they do all the kinds of things that they need to make sure those people still have wonderful vacations. One thing about the cruise industry and travel in general is they really do a lot of stuff to make sure that if there's any kind of an interruption or any kind of an inconvenience, they overcompensate and then some. And I'm sure they did that for those people on that trip.
Absolutely.
But, hey, let's face it, the scenery on that trip was wonderful. They were safe. They were stuck in the middle of beautiful scenery, and I'm sure many of them enjoyed it. So having said that, we're going to catch everybody. Yep. We're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. This will be a replay, and then we'll be back the week after that. And I'm going to say thanks, everybody, for being here, and we will catch you next time on Building Fortunes Radio.
Right.
Check them out, harshmantravel.com.
And Peter. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening. and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.